WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
From WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Terry Gross with Fresh Air. This is the last in our series of programs featuring some of the more remarkable people who joined us in 1993. One of our favorite shows we ever produced on Fresh Air was our live concert last May with singer and songwriter Arthur Alexander. The Beatles and the Rolling Stones recorded his songs on their early records. Our concert was part of a comeback that he was making, but just as he began this new chapter of his life, he died in June at the age of 53. On today's Fresh Air, we listen back to his wonderful concert. Also today, the woman regarded by many as the greatest living gospel singer, Marianne Williams. That's all coming up on Fresh Air. First, the news.
From National Public Radio News in Washington, I'm Dale Willman. Israel and the Vatican today signed a historic agreement for diplomatic relations. The accord ends almost 2,000 years of tensions between Jews and Catholics. NPR's Linda Gradstein reports from Jerusalem.
Since Israel's creation in 1948, it has always longed for formal recognition by the Catholic Church. That recognition came today in an agreement signed by representatives of the Vatican and Israel in Jerusalem. The two sides will exchange personal representatives until the agreement is formally approved by the Knesset and the Vatican in about 4 months. The Vatican representative, Monsignor Celli, said the Vatican embassy will be in Tel Aviv, not in Jerusalem, and called for international guarantees to protect holy places in Jerusalem. In the agreement, the Vatican and Israel pledged to cooperate to fight anti-Semitism. The Vatican is also likely to become formally involved in the Middle East peace process. I'm Linda Gradstein in Jerusalem.
A pipe bomb exploded in a trash can at a Kmart store in northeast Florida today. Officials say four employees were injured in that blast. A second bomb was found at another Kmart store nearby. Bomb experts are attempting to defuse that device. Kmart officials say they've received no warnings about the bombs, and police say they have no suspects. Officials are now searching all Kmart stores in northern Florida for other possible devices. The Justice Department has filed petitions with two federal courts in Ohio regarding their decisions involving John Demjanjuk. Demjanjuk's conviction in Israel on charges of being a Nazi death camp guard were overturned earlier this year by Israel's top court. Kevin Niedermeyer of member station WKSU reports.
The Justice Department is asking a U.S. District Judge in Cleveland to reaffirm a 1981 ruling that stripped John Demjanjuk of his citizenship. That decision alleges Demjanjuk lied on his immigration papers about having a Nazi past, and it led to his 1986 extradition to Israel to face charges of being Ivan the Terrible. U.S. law says anyone with a Nazi past will be deported. In a second filing today, the Justice Department asked a federal court in Cincinnati to reconsider last month's ruling that overturned Demjanjuk's extradition. In that decision, the court said the Justice Department disregarded the truth by withholding information indicating that another man was Ivan the Terrible, not Demjanjuk. Last summer, the Israeli Supreme Court overturned Demjanjuk's conviction, and he's now living near Cleveland. For National Public Radio, I'm Kevin Niedermeyer in Cleveland.
Defense Secretary Les Aspin ordered the military today to check its files to see whether the armed forces conducted radiation tests on people. The order requires files as far back as the 1940s to be checked. Aspin said he wants to make sure that all avenues are explored that might uncover any information on such tests. On Wall Street today, stocks closed lower. The Dow Jones Industrials lost 18.5 points to finish up at 3775.88. This is NPR. Two teenagers and two adults in their 20s have been indicted in Germany in a deadly neo-Nazi attack against foreigners. Five Turks were killed in the May firebombing. It was the deadliest attack in 3 years of anti-foreigner violence. Prosecutors say the accused men wanted revenge after an argument in a bar. They thought the two foreigners they were arguing with were Turks. Hyperinflation in Serbia has wiped out the value of its currency, and coal miners are on strike demanding payment in Deutschmarks. Authorities in Belgrade today released the latest estimate on their rate of inflation. The BBC's Paul Adams reports.
The end of the year sees Serbia plunging further and further into economic ruin. December's inflation rate has topped 1 million%. On the street, people have more or less stopped trying to keep up, preferring instead to do business in the ubiquitous Deutschmark. The 17,000 coal miners of the Kalubra Basin decided yesterday they'd had enough. They've gone on strike, demanding payment in hard currency and a package of staple goods worth 50 Deutschmarks. The president of the strike committee, Milovan Bankovic, voiced the frustration of many when he spoke of the madness of the government's economic policy, a policy which means that the government is printing money as fast as it can while the people of Serbia and Montenegro suffer. Yesterday, the National Bank issued new currency denominations, including a one dinar coin that was worthless before it was even minted.
Paul Adams in Belgrade. A report published today says a human smuggling ring is shipping thousands of Chinese into the U.S. in defiance of the U.S. government. According to accounts in the San Francisco Chronicle, U.S. federal agents say they suspect members of the smuggling syndicate are bribing government officials in Guatemala and other Central American countries. The report said the smugglers were using bases in Guatemala and Southern California. The syndicate is said to be responsible for the two ships full of illegal immigrants that authorities intercepted last spring in San Francisco and New York. This is NPR News from Washington. I'm Dale Willman.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We're ending 1993 by listening back to programs with some of the more remarkable people who joined us this year. We were particularly proud of a concert we produced last May with Arthur Alexander after the release of his comeback record, Lonely Just Like Me. 1 month after the concert, as he began a new chapter in his life, he had a heart attack and died at the age of 53. Today we present his Fresh Air concert, recorded live at the 1993 Public Radio Conference. You're about to discover or rediscover a very soulful singer and songwriter, Arthur Alexander. His early records inspired the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. As Keith Richards said, when the Beatles and the Stones got their first chance to record, the Beatles did Alexander's song Anna, and the Stones did his song You Better Move On. That should tell you enough. Alexander had rhythm and blues hits in the 60s and 70s. He's recently been coaxed back onto the music scene after an absence of close to two decades. After he gave up music, he moved from his home in Alabama to Cleveland, where he's been driving a bus for a community center. The good news is he's just recorded his first album in 20 years for the Elektra American Explorer series, and we couldn't be happier about presenting one of the first concerts in this new stage of his career. Our band is led by the producer of the new album, guitarist Ben Vaughan. We're broadcasting live from the annual Public Radio Conference in Washington, D.C., with a studio audience of our colleagues from around the country. Let's get started with a song, and I'll let Arthur Alexander introduce it.
Okay, this is a song that I did years ago, and I also had the pleasure of doing on my new Elektra album, a little thing that goes a little something like this. Same title, Go Home Girl. Well, now me and Frank, we're the best of friends, and our friendship will never end. But it would hurt him so for him to know that I love his girlfriend. Now the love of a girl and the love of a friend are two things you can't compare. So my heart will ache, but I will let it break, 'cause I know it just ain't fair. Go on home, girl, let's call it a night. Go on home, girl, this just ain't right. But before you go, I want you to know that I love you, yes I do. Though it may break my heart, but darling, we must part, 'cause I know Frank loves you too. Love that's really real.
But I think that he is just like me, and I don't know just how he'd feel. But darling, I do know it would hurt him so if you told him that it must end. And I could never hold a love I stole from a man I call my best friend. Go on home, girl, let's call it a night. Go on home, girl, this just ain't right. Go on home, baby, please. You know I love you, but he does too. And you belong to him, yes you do. Go on home, baby, please. You better go right now.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
It's really so great to have Arthur Alexander performing again, and I really want to know what it's been like for you, what it's like for you to perform now, to perform again.
It feels great. It feels great. You know, it brings back old memories. You know, I always did love performing, by the way. You know, I didn't leave because I didn't like performing. I left because of other reasons, you know.
What kind of reasons?
Well, record people, publishers, you know. When you make a hit record, you kind of like to get paid, you know.
Well, you actually had a lot of your copyrights that you sold to or gave to other people, so you didn't even make a lot of money from some of your songs that other people did?
Well, I signed publishing over to publishers. But in turn, they were supposed to pay me, you know. You see, I didn't have a publishing company right. when I got into the business, you know. So other people published the songs, and they were supposed to pay me, you know. The way it's supposed to go is the writer gets half from the publisher.
Right.
That half I never saw.
So my impression is that you had to be kind of coaxed to come back and perform. That you, it's not like you were really looking to do it. So did they have to really talk you into it? I know first you were asked to do an Alabama Music Hall of Fame thing, and then you were asked to do a record. Did they have to talk you into it?
Yeah, they did pretty much, because I had resigned myself to doing what I was doing, and I was happy doing that, you know. And they opened this Hall of Fame thing in Alabama, and Rick Hall called me and said that they had reserved a spot down there, and they had a star in it for me, and would I come down and sing a few numbers. And after a while, I agreed to do that. And after I'd done that, they called me back the next year for the Helen Keller Festival and asked me if I would come down and sing a few numbers for that. And I agreed to that. And I met Donnie Fritz there, and he was telling me about a thing in New York at the Bottom Line called a bunch of songwriters sitting around singing. And would I come and do that? And I was a little reluctant about that because I thought New York was a stretch, you know. And he said he had did it, you know, and he asked if it was okay if he gave Alan Pepper, the owner, my number. And I said okay.
And that's how it all started.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah. So I want you to do another song. Time goes so quickly when you're live. But I just want to, we have a great band, and I want to introduce them before we do the next song. We have Ben Vaughn on guitar, Bobby J lead guitar, Seth Baer on drums, and Mike Vogelman on bass. And you want to do another song?
Sure.
Yeah, great band, great band.
This is from my Elektra album, Genie in the Jug. Little genie in the jug, I got bitten by your bug. You drove away my true love, and
And she ain't never coming back to me. And she ain't never coming back to me. But she left you on the table to comfort me and keep me stable. You try to help, but you ain't able. Cause she ain't never coming back to me. Or she ain't never coming back to me. Little genie in the jug, I got bitten by your bug. You drove away my true love. And she ain't never coming back to me. She ain't never coming back to me. All right. In the jug, we might as well just board a bus. Cause she ain't never coming back to us. Or she ain't never coming back to us. She ain't never coming back to me. Or she ain't never coming back to me. She ain't never coming back to me. Or she ain't never coming back to me.
Take a short break, and then we'll be back with more of this concert with Arthur Alexander. And I want to remind you before we break that he's got a new record and does some of these songs on them. The album's called Lonely Just Like Me. This is Fresh Air. Back live with a concert featuring Arthur Alexander. Arthur, the next song you're going to do is one a lot of our listeners will know. You Better Move On. The Rolling Stones recorded it early in their career. Do you know how the Rolling Stones and Beatles got to know your songs and record them?
Well, the story I got, you know, there's a radio station called Radio Luxembourg. And that station was piped into London, you know, I think. And they all listened to that station. And on that station, they played like a lot of R&B. And my tune was among them. And I think that's how they heard me.
Want to do it for us?
Sure. You asked me to give up the hand of the girl I love. You tell me I'm not the man she's worthy of. But who are you to tell her who to love? That's up to her. Yes, and the Lord above. You better move on. Well, I know you can buy her fancy clothes and diamond rings, but I believe she's happy with me without those things. Still, you beg me to set her free, but my friend, that will never be. You better move on. Blame you for loving her, but can't you understand, man, she's my girl, and I'm never gonna let her go, oh no, cause I
and I think you better go. Now I'm getting mighty mad. You asked me to give up the only love I've ever had. Maybe I would, oh, but I love her so. I'm never gonna let her go. You better move on. You better move on. You better move on.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Arthur, you have such a really southern-based sound. I know you're from Alabama. You sang in the church when you were young?
Yeah. Matter of fact, I started in the church. You know, my father, he was a old blues player, you know. But when I came along and got to be about 5 or 6, you know, he stopped because, like me, he never made no money, you know. And he didn't want me to take that path, you know. So I shot him a curve, you know. I started singing with a group called the Hard Strings in the church, and he loved that, you know, because he found religion later in life. Matter of fact, I saw him get baptized, you know, and he was an avid churchgoer after that, and he thought I was on the right path.
What kind of music were you doing in the church?
Religious music, you know.
Well, I mean, was it tight harmonies or what?
I'm working on the building and, you know, songs like that, you know. Old Negro religious spirituals, you know. Things with a lot of heart to them, you know.
I want to get in another song before we run out of time. And this is a song that I think a lot of our listeners will recognize. It's Every Day I Had to Cry. Now, you had a hit of this in the 70s, and then Steve Alamo recorded it in the 60s and had a hit with that.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Yeah, so, and this is, of course, on your new album, too.
Yes.
And you want to do it?
Sure, yeah. Sure.
There was a little girl I had planned to marry. This was my love. I didn't want to share it. I thought that love would make my life bright and sunny. She said she couldn't love me cause I didn't have no money. So every day I have to cry, son. Every day I have to cry, son. Dry the water from my eyes, son. Every day I have to cry. I had me a girl, and yes, I really loved her every night. Well, I was thinking of her, but you can't mix love with money. Cause if you do, you're gonna hurt somebody. And every day I have to cry some. Every day I have to cry some. Dry the water from my eyes some. Every day I have to cry. Lord, I know that I'm just a poor man, but is it wrong to love? Cause I'm not a rich man. But you can't mix love with money. Cause when you do, you're gonna hurt somebody. Every day I have to cry some. Every day I have to cry some. Dry the water from my eyes, son. Every day I have to cry. Every day I have to ooh, cry, son. Every day I have to cry, son. Dry the water from my eyes, son. Every day I have to cry. Every day I have to let the water fall from my eyes. Every day I have to let the water fall from my eyes.
every day I have to cry, son. Every day I have to cry, son. Dry the water from my eyes, son. Every day I have to cry.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Our concert with Arthur Alexander was recorded May 7th, 1993. We were deeply saddened when Alexander died a month later after a heart attack. He was 53. He died in Nashville, where he had just performed a concert and was taking care of some business regarding his song copyrights. Ben Vaughn, who produced Alexander's comeback record and led the band for our concert, was with Alexander in Nashville during the last few days of his life.
He fell sick at his publisher's office and was in the hospital for 3 days, and myself and a few other people sat vigil with him, and it was really a sad thing. But Arthur was more accepting of what was happening to him than we were. It made sense to him because he was a very religious man, and that was, he proved to me that he really was very religious. He wasn't just saying it all the time, you know. And he really never preached to me or tried to convert me or anything, but he really did believe in God, and he felt that whatever was happening to him at that particular moment was what was supposed to be happening, and whichever way it was going to go would be God's will. And he was very at peace with himself.
When he died, I thought, well, my first inclination was to think that how could this happen, just as his life was changing for the better and people were appreciating his singing and songwriting again, and it looked like he'd have a whole new career. He dies. And I thought, well, the other way of looking at it is, he stayed alive long enough for the record to be produced and for him to regain that appreciation.
Oh, yeah. I have both feelings about it, having known Arthur and worked with him so closely, that it breaks my heart that it happened at the time it happened. But it also, I'm really, really glad that he got a chance to get out from behind driving that bus, come in and cut a new record that so many people have really held close to their heart.
He talked about how he never got royalties on a lot of the songs that he wrote. I understand there was some change in that at the very end, that right before he died, he was able to...
The very last thing he did in Nashville was he straightened out the paperwork to have the royalties from his most famous songs, which he signed over publishing to early in his career. It had reverted back to him because of a statute of limitations law about copyrights. After 28 years, copyrights apparently revert back to the author, and then you can recall them and publish them yourself. And he had hired an administrator in Nashville to collect all the royalties and get them sent to the right address, and that was the very last thing he did before he collapsed and was taken to the hospital, actually.
So now the money will go to his family?
Oh, yeah. He has... two daughters and a son and a bunch of grandkids. So it'll be going to the right address.
Ben, thanks for stopping and being with us.
Sure.
Ben Vaughn produced Arthur Alexander's last record, Lonely Just Like Me. I'm Terry Grossen. This is Fresh Air.
Until I make it on my own, I'll cry, but I'll get by, and I'll forgive you, girl, by and by, and I'll forget you someday, if it's really gotta be this way.
Major funding for Fresh Air is provided by Borders, where the love of books and music sets the standard. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
From Philadelphia, I'm Terry Gross with Fresh Air. On today's Fresh Air, the woman usually described as the greatest living gospel singer, Marion Williams. She doesn't sing secular music, even though she's been offered lots of money to do so. Williams was just honored at the Kennedy Center for Lifetime Achievement in the Arts. Aretha Franklin and Little Richard sang tributes to her. We're featuring Williams' interview as part of our look back on some of the remarkable people who joined us in 1993 on Fresh Air.
From National Public Radio News in Washington, I'm Ann Taylor. PLO Chairman Yasser Arafat is in Jordan, where he has held talks with King Hussein about disputes with Israel that are holding up plans for implementation of the limited self-rule agreement. After 3 days of talks in Cairo between Israel and the PLO, there's still confusion about what the talks achieved. Steve Sacker of the BBC reports.
The PLO leader has continued his frenetic diplomatic schedule today, first in Egypt, then with King Hussein in Jordan. He's given no public comment on the continued impasse, but other senior PLO officials have tried to play down the sense of crisis. Nabil Shath, for example, stressed that talks on self-rule would soon begin again in the Egyptian Red Sea port of Taba. He said that on certain issues, such as the protection afforded to Jewish settlers in Gaza, real progress had been made. For all that, the implementation of the peace accord faces further delay, and that is probably a more serious problem for Yasser Arafat than Yitzhak Rabin. Again today, senior figures within the PLO have been voicing their disquiet with the way their leader is handling the negotiations.
Stephen Sacker reporting from Cairo. Vatican and Israeli officials have signed an agreement that will lead to full diplomatic relations between the two. Over the last year, officials have struggled with disagreements involving politics and theology. Under the new agreement, Israel and the Vatican will exchange representatives who will be elevated in April to the rank of ambassador. The agreement calls for mutual recognition and holds Israel responsible for protecting Catholic holy sites. The head of the International Police Organization, Interpol, said today in a published interview that Western officials are losing the fight against drugs because they are relying on repression. He said that legalizing drugs would be more effective. Lynn Terry reports from Paris.
The Secretary General of Interpol, Raymond Kendall, said every year Western governments seize greater quantities of drugs and arrest an increasing number of dealers. But he said drugs continue to flood the Western market and drug addiction is on the rise. He said if we continue to focus on repression, we'll lose the fight against drugs altogether. Kendall made these comments in an interview in the weekly news magazine, Le Nouvel Observateur. He said the only effective way to fight hard and soft drugs is by decriminalizing them. He doesn't think they should be legalized and put on the market, however, which he said would only increase consumption. Rather, he said government should treat addicts in specialized centers and dissuade other people from ever using drugs. He said Sweden has had great success with this approach. For National Public Radio, this is Lynn Terry in Paris.
On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrials moved down more than 18 points to close at 3,775.88 in active trading. This is NPR News. In Northern Ireland, a British soldier has been shot to death in a sniper attack. Police said the attack is similar to ones made by members of the Irish Republican Army, in which 8 soldiers and police officers have been killed over the last year and a half. Only 20 hours earlier, several hundred IRA supporters met and turned down a ceasefire, while a peace plan signed by the prime ministers of Britain and Ireland is considered. The Food and Drug Administration has approved a genetically engineered drug for treating people with cystic fibrosis. It's the first new drug for the illness in 30 years. NPR's Joe Palca has more.
Cystic fibrosis affects about 30,000 people in this country. It's an inherited disorder that causes sticky mucus to build up in patients' lungs. The mucus not only makes it hard for the lung to function, but it also provides a fertile breeding ground for destructive bacterial infections. The new drug, developed by the California biotech firm Genentech, is called DNase. It works by thinning out the mucus, making it easier for patients to clear it from their chests. A recent study of nearly 1,000 cystic fibrosis patients showed that DNase, along with standard therapies, reduced the risk of severe respiratory infections by 27% and also improved patients' lung function. FDA used its new legal authority to give DNase a fast-track review. The agency approved the drug just 9 months after it was submitted for approval. This is Joe Palca in Washington.
Officials taking part in talks between the U.S. and North Korea say that progress has been made. At issue is a U.S. proposal for North Korea to allow inspections of its nuclear sites. A State Department spokesman says that the Clinton administration has moved closer to meeting its aims and that more talks are expected. North Korean officials are quoted by the Korean Central News Agency as saying that talks at the U.N. yesterday led to a breakthrough. This is NPR News in Washington.
This is Fresh Air. We're going to conclude our series featuring interviews with some of the remarkable people who joined us in 93. Marion Williams is generally regarded as the greatest living gospel singer. Last night, many Americans watched the broadcast of the Kennedy Center Awards, honoring lifetime achievement in the arts. When Marion Williams was honored, Aretha Franklin and Little Richard sang tributes to her. Earlier this year, Anderson received a so-called Genius Award from the MacArthur Foundation. Williams started her career with the Ward Singers in the 1940s, when she was still a teenager. She later led her own group, the Stars of Faith. She was born in Miami in 1927. She now lives in Philadelphia's inner city, near her home church, the B.M. Oakley Memorial Temple Church of God in Christ. You may have heard her sing Amazing Grace on Bill Moyers' TV documentary about the song. She also sings it on her new album, Can't Keep It to Myself.
That's the old way of the black folks singing Amazing Grace. There's a white way. A lot of folks don't know that. It's a white way of singing it. And it may sound like whatever. But it's so. It's a white way of singing it, and it's a black way of singing Amazing Grace. Because the whites sing it, straight. Amazing Grace, how sweet. But when that song, I always say this, that Mr. Newton, he probably wrote the words, yes, but I feel like he got the tune from the slaves, and where they moaned and whatnot because of the hurt and the beating that they were getting. So when they were saying, and they had to catch their breath. And so the first part of that we're singing in the black way is telling of the way their mother, sung Amazing Grace and remembered that.
Did your mother sing when you were young?
My mother was a songster. I tell you, she sung. She used to come on the radio singing at her church. And, then we didn't pay it no attention as folk being stars. She used to sing every Sunday night. She had her song, Oh Jesus, Let Me Ride, Low Down the Chariot, and Let Me Ride. And the white people from the beach, the Jewish people used to come in. They used to pack the church out so they could hear Rosetta Tharpe. Rosetta Tharpe used to be down there at that time. And here, and my mother would be the one that brings for the congregation song, yes.
This was in Miami?
This in Miami, yes.
Now, what was your mother's singing style like?
Old style, you know. It was the old sanctified way of singing the gospel. You know, a lot of shouting and whatever, and hoops, and, you know.
Can you sing in her style?
Mm-hmm.
Is it your style or is it different?
I got some of her style, yes. Yes, I can't help but have, you know. Can't help but have that.
When in your life did your sense of Jesus Christ really start to take shape? Did that have a...
In the early years, you mean? Mm-hmm. When it did, around 8, 9 years old, mm-hmm. I can remember. Yes, and the Spirit of the Lord would get upon me in the church, and I would shout, you know, and there's something come over me that was different from the ordinary, you know, and I knew then that was the Spirit of God.
I know your father died when you were a girl.
9 years old.
And your mother had diabetes.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
she even had both legs amputated as a result of the diabetes. And when you were in ninth grade, I believe it was after ninth grade, you had to leave school so you could take
care
of your mother and go to work to support her.
That's right.
And you worked in a laundry for a while.
A laundry.
What was that like?
Oh, it was horrible. Because I wouldn't see daylight from one time to the other. Until I got off late at night, 11 o'clock at night. And so one day, this Jeremiah Pratt, I'll never forget him from Miami, he was like a father to me. And he played the bass violin. And he said to me, he said, Marion, he said, I want to talk to you. He said, I don't think you need to be on that job that you have, that laundry job. He said, because you have too much talent, he said, to just be slaving like that, you know. He said, I feel like I want to take you off that job so you can sing. I'm going to have a group. I'm going to get a group together. And that's what he did. And he put me as the lead singer of that group. And we went traveling all around Florida, you know. That's why I know how to sing the different styles, because I visited the different churches and, you know, and it was just great. And I stayed with them until I joined the Ward Singers. Mm-hmm.
Gospel singer Marion Williams is my guest. She has a new album called Can't Keep It to Myself. We'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. Back with gospel singer Marion Williams. When you were a teenager, mm-hmm. you went north to visit your sister in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. and that's where you heard the Clara Ward Singers. Who
I went to their programs. My girlfriend took me to that program,
and you sang with them one night, and then they asked you to join.
No, I didn't sing with them. Uh-huh. I sung by myself.
I see.
I did a couple of solos, and they shouted for about 20 minutes. You know, and the church, they couldn't get right. And after that, that night, they asked me to join a group. And I said, no, I can't join your group. I had to see my mother. I talked with my mother about that.
And what did your mother think about the idea?
Well, when I went back home and I told her about it, she said, she did one of those things. She just grunted. She had no thoughts, you know, one way or the other at the time. So the Ward Singers called and they wrote me a letter and wrote my mother a letter and said they wanted to come down and they want to take me back with them and they want to talk with my mother and whatever. And for us to book them some programs the week that they were going to be here. And so we did. They came down and stayed in my mother's house. They all stayed there. We had a great time together. And they told my mother they would like to take me with them. And she said, well, I don't know about all that. He said, well, if you're going to take care of my child, you know, whatever, and told Miss Ward. And Miss Ward told her, said, yes, I will take care. I'll be a mother to her, you know, while she's away from home. And she did. Yeah, the early years, she was like a mother. And came back while they were there. Well, I had to get all these things, what they used, you know, they were glamorous then with their, you know, clothing and whatever. They wore glamour clothes, you know.
You weren't used to that.
No, I wasn't used to that. No, I had some flat shoes, you know, I wear used to flat shoes and little, what you call those little cotton dresses, gingham dresses, you know. And that was it.
You were known for, when you were singing in church, going up and down the aisles.
Yes.
And on some songs, even sitting on people's laps.
Yes. You know all that.
Oh, from reading about you. I wish I could say I knew
really?
About it from actually seeing you do it. But I'm wondering how you developed that style.
I always give God the credit. I give God the credit for everything when things happen with me. That's good. I was singing in Chicago one night. I used not to run out of aisle all the time. And we were singing, Surely God is Able. And that this looked like the folks were just sitting there and they weren't heeding no horn. You know, they wouldn't look like they weren't enjoying us and whatever. Just very dead because it was a dead church anyway. And I was singing, Surely God is Able. And this almost for a moment, something like, run down that aisle, just like that. And I ran down that aisle, and when I did that, the people, they just shouted, they just hollered and cried and whatever. So, those things, it was spontaneous, you know, of course, and ever since then.
Now, what about sitting on people's laps?
Oh, sitting on people's laps, well, that came, you know. That was another thing that the Lord gave me, just to sit on laps, and I sat on somebody's lap, and they told me to get off their lap. I also used to sing Packing Up, and I used to get the pocketbook and put it under my arm and go down the aisle. And I reached for this lady's pocketbook, and she wouldn't let me have it. You know, we were just tussling. I was just singing and she was tussling. And she said, go pack up with somebody else's pocketbook. Don't bother mine. And there was another time I went to another place to sing, and we sung Packing Up, and I went to reach for this man's attaché case, and he told me, he said, and I was just thinking, he said, all right, there's a gun in there. And I left that thing alone, honey, and went down that aisle and started shaking folk hand. Yes, indeed. So I've had quite a bit of experiences, and the Lord have given me different things to do when I sing.
The song that you mentioned, Packing Up, is on your new album. You have a
yes.
new recording
mm-hmm.
of that. So why don't we give that a listen?
You know how old that song is?
No, I don't.
Oh, it's hitting 40 years. I've been singing it in the early 50s.
This is Marion Williams singing Pack It Up from her new album, Can't Keep It to Myself.
Packing up, I'm getting ready to go. Yeah, when I pray an earnest prayer, King Jesus told me that he's gonna meet me there. Yeah, then I tell him now to please make me stronger. I can't hold out no longer. Then a wheel begin to turn in me, yeah, a little fire begin to burn in me. You know I'm packing, I'm getting ready.
Gospel singer Marion Williams, more in a minute. This is Fresh Air. Robert Siegel's with us. Robert, what's coming up on All Things Considered?
Well, we'll hear news of Israel and the Vatican establishing diplomatic relations at almost the ambassadorial level. Also, an update on the talks between Israel and the PLO. A day in the life of a tabloid TV show producer. That is, someone who actually books all of those guests. And the best of 1993.
The best what?
Aha, the best what is exactly the question. Many different categories. The best crossword puzzle clues. The best pasta shapes of 1993. We asked several people what they thought was the best for them this year.
Well, thanks, Robert. That and more on All Things Considered from National Public Radio. Back with gospel singer Marion Williams.
You have such a wonderful style of singing, and it's the kind of gospel singing that a lot of rhythm and blues singers and soul singers have modeled their singing on. I imagine that you got plenty of offers to cross over to secular music.
Yeah.
What kind of offers did you get, and why did you always turn them down?
Well, I got an offer in Europe when I went there with Black Nativity.
This is a Langston Hughes musical.
Yes. And they offered me $100,000.
Yay.
Yeah. To sing that one pop song. And they fixed all kind of beautiful things for me to eat and took me to this mansion home. It was a mansion. And I ate up all their good food. It was so good, very good. And while I on the last one, I was eating the dessert, then they brought the song out, and they told me they wanted me to sing that song, and they put it on the stereo and for me to hear it or whatever. I listened to it and looked at the paper, the music sheet, and I told them, I let them know. Because I was going to Paris the next day. And this was London, England I was in. And I was going to Paris the next day. Went to Paris. And I got in the hotel room. And the Lord began to deal with me and let me know not to cross over. I said, because of the gospel, and you've been singing the gospel, that's why these folk love you, because you sang the gospel. Said, you can't go back on me now. Talk to me just like you would talk to me, you know. And I sat there and I listened and meditated and whatever. And then I began to cry, and because the money sounded extra good, you know. It was hard turning it down, really. I have to be truthful about that. But when the Lord got through dealing with me, I called my manager because she was downstairs in her room. And I called her. I said, Barbara, I said, I won't be able to do that. She what? She said, oh, you crazy. She said, do you have good sense? I said, yes. I said, but I won't be able to do it. Yes, indeed. So she just couldn't get it. She didn't speak to me for a couple of months after that. She was very angry with me.
I think a lot of our listeners might be wondering, how is it that a woman with such a big and powerful singing voice has such a comparatively small speaking voice?
I've always wondered that myself. Oh, I don't know why, but I don't sing. I don't talk very loud. I don't. But when I give me that sing, it starts me to singing, and then I'm ready. Mm.
Do you feel almost like two different people?
Almost, when I'm talking and then when I'm singing, yes.
What happens to you when you sing? What kind of change do you feel?
What happens to me? Spirit of God, honey. Overflow me, you know, and illuminate me and whatever. because I like I said, I keep prayerful, whatever. Yes. And once you keep meditating day by day or hour by hour, you'll hear me in a minute say, yes, Lord, oh, hallelujah. And that's what I'm worried about when I go to the White House and the Kennedy Center Honors. If whoever's singing for me on that night, you know, to entertain me that night, which will be some gospel groups, I say when they hit the right thing, I know I'm going to say hallelujah. You know, I know that. So my producer said, well, you, Marion, you can't do that. You're going to be sitting up there with the president. I said, well, I'm sorry. I said, the president's going to hear hallelujah.
He'll probably appreciate it.
Yes.
Well, Marion Williams, I want to congratulate you on the MacArthur Award and on the Kennedy Center Honor. Congratulations on your new album as well. Thank you so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Marion Williams recorded in November, and I think I saw her say hallelujah last night on the Kennedy Center broadcast. We hope you enjoyed our retrospective featuring some of the remarkable people we met in 93. Our senior producer today was Joan Tuohy. Our Arthur Alexander concert was produced by Amy Sallet. Fresh Air is also produced by Phyllis Myers and Naomi Person with Nancy Greenlease and Peter Clowney. Roberta Shurrock directs the show. Danny Miller returns on Monday, and we're looking forward to seeing him again. Here's more from Marion Williams' new album, Can't Keep It to Myself.
I'm gonna ride on the clouds with my Lord. I'm gonna ride on the clouds with my Lord. When he bid me arise and a start for the sky, child, I'm gonna ride on the clouds with my Lord. Well, I'm gonna ride on the cloud, I'm riding with my Lord. I'm gonna ride on the clouds with my Lord. When he bid me arise and a start for the sky, I'm gonna ride on the cloud. Woo! When my Lord, what a ride. When I bid this earth goodbye and be caught up in the sky to meet Jesus, my soon coming King. How the chariots will ring, Christ the everlasting King. And I'll ride on the clouds with my Lord. Well, child, I'm gonna ride on the clouds with my Lord.
Major funding for Fresh Air is provided by this and other NPR member stations. Additional support comes from the Vanguard Group of Investment Companies, with 74 mutual fund portfolios offering comprehensive investment and retirement services. 1-800-643-3393. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
What's New Year's Eve without a countdown? On the next Fresh Air, our critics count down the best of the year in music and film. Rock critic Ken Tucker and classical music critic Lloyd Schwartz will play their picks for the best records of the year, and film critic Stephen Schiff will have his 10 best list. I'm Terry Gross. I hope you'll join us for the next Fresh Air.